Prop II asks voters to retain tobacco and nicotine funding. It is about $23.65 million that has been collected from tobacco and nicotine taxes. And that funding will then go to the universal preschool program in Colorado.
And if we vote no, where does it go?
It goes back to the tobacco manufacturers and retailers.
Doesn't go back to taxpayers.
It does not. The second measure is called 2P. And that's a pretty great ballot measure number, because all you have to remember is P for preschool. The Denver preschool program has been able to reach 65,000 families in Denver over the course of its lifetime, spending over $150 million on the care for those kids. Imagine the amount of financial relief that has offered to families in our city. It's incredible.
Welcome to our 2023 Voter Guide edition of Better Beginnings. For those of you who are new to the show, we're so glad you're here. This is a podcast on how to navigate Colorado's complex early childhood system. More importantly, this show is searching for an answer to this question. How do we make childcare and preschool better for all Coloradans? We're not just talking about building better childcare and preschool programs for kids and families either. We're talking about developing an entire system that can improve our state's economy both now and in the future. Because really smart, fiscally conservative people who study this stuff for a living are now telling us that preschool investments are some of the smartest long-term bets we can make with taxpayer money, with returns between $4 and $16 for every $1 invested. More on that later. The biggest goal today? To try to make you smarter about two measures on your 2023 ballot that center on preschool. First, all Coloradans will vote on Proposition II, which would retain money for our universal preschool program and allow it to provide more hours to more kids in the state. Second, all Denverites will be asked about extending the Denver preschool program, which offers preschool tuition credits to Denver families, as well as financial support to strengthen our city's preschool programs. Without further ado, let's talk ballots. I'm your host, Will Holden, and this is Better Beginnings. Before we dive in too deep, let's get to know each other better. As I said, my name's Will, and I'm the Director of Communications and Storytelling at Gary Community Ventures. We're a philanthropic organization in Denver working to ensure all Colorado kids and families have the same access to opportunity. Our team has three distinct entities that allow us to combine the power of business, policy, and philanthropy in our work. Gary Advocacy is one of those entities, and in the interest of full disclosure, we just want to say up front that we're financial supporters of Proposition II and Question 2P in Denver. So yes, we have some skin in the game here. But here's the thing. We're not standing alone on either of these issues. It's rare in our current political climate that we can identify a single policy issue, let alone two, that truly has bipartisan support. This is one of those rare times, folks. Both ballot measures we're going to talk about today started by gaining bipartisan support from elected officials. These measures then were sent to voters, where they passed again with significant majorities. So what's the point of this voter guide episode if these two ballot measures are such no-brainers? Here's the thing. Most of the stories we hear on the news or find in our social media feeds these days highlight the division in this country. We spend a ton of time talking about things that are broken and seemingly can't be fixed. This is one of those fleeting moments when we have the opportunity to talk about something that's going right and how we can keep that positive momentum going. And quite frankly, that's an opportunity we're not willing to squander. We're also not going to belabor the point, because we know so many of you listening to the show are working parents with small children, childcare or preschool providers, or business leaders with busy schedules. I myself, I'm working from home today with an 11-month-old and a 3-year-old. Why? Because our childcare center just shut down this week thanks to a burst pipe. Suffice to say, your time is precious and we don't want to waste it. So here's what we hope. Listen to the show while you're doing the dishes, working out, or running one of your 87 errands. Then, share it with another working parent who could use a pick-me-up. Share it with someone you know who doesn't have kids. Share it with anybody who's got a pulse and a chance to vote this fall. And then, help us shout this from the rooftop. There is positive momentum building in Colorado around childcare and preschool, and we can keep that going this fall by voting yes on Proposition II in question 2P. Let's start with Proposition II, as it's the one measure we're talking about today that's on all Colorado ballots. The story around Proposition II really dates back to the passage of Proposition EE in 2020. That's when Colorado voters easily approved a nicotine tax to fund universal preschool for all Colorado children in the year before they enter kindergarten. Prop EE passed with a whopping 68% of the vote, and that vote paved the way for this moment.
It has been a decades-long road to universal preschool in Colorado. Democratic Governor Jared Polis campaigned on it. Voters approved funding for it, and now state legislators are finalizing the plan for it to begin in 2023.
And begin in 2023, it did. Steph Clothier is a member of our team here at Gary Community Ventures. As part of the coalition that has been pushing for this change for the last decade, she explained what this moment meant for families.
Universal preschool that just launched this summer does a number of new things. One is it allows parents to choose any preschool provider that's participating in the program. And that means more choices for parents. They can choose a school district provider, a center-based provider, or even a licensed home-based provider. And those are new opportunities for families that weren't available before.
We call universal pre-K UPK for short. And to put it succinctly, UPK makes funding for high-quality preschool available to all Colorado kids in the year before they enter kindergarten. Prior to UPK, it was a challenge for many parents to find a preschool provider, period, let alone one that felt high quality or affordable. Some families would learn about providers from neighbors. Other families might learn about a program online or because they just drove past it on their way to work. And there was no system in place to match families to providers who actually had openings. So families would often settle for whatever they could find and often wound up stuck on wait lists for months. Another harsh reality for families prior to UPK? Colorado was one of the few states in the country where the average preschool cost exceeded $1,000 a month. And if families wanted to try to get a financial break, they could try to apply for assistance through multiple, frustrating, complicated government programs, or try to find a preschool slot in their school district. But many of those programs only offered part-time, part-year care, which wasn't enough for many working families. With that complicated, fragmented system in place, Colorado plummeted to 26th in the country in the percentage of children enrolled in preschool. In one fell swoop, UPK changed that. This fall, Colorado shot up that list, now ranking 8th in percentage of kids enrolled in preschool. For the new Colorado Department of Early Childhood, who's tasked with running this program, that enrollment figure was an eye-opener, according to Steph.
So initially, the department thought that maybe 45% of four-year-olds would enroll in the first year. And that would have been a big success. But what we've seen so far is a massive number of families applying for preschool. And we have about 40,000 families matched to their preschool preference already. So if we look at 40,000 out of approximately 65,000 kids, that's much higher than what we thought we were going to have.
We don't want to sugarcoat it, though. If you've been following any of the news coverage about UPK this fall, chances are you've heard that the rollout of this program has had some bumps. Because of the larger-than-expected demand, not all families were able to get the amount of free preschool hours that they were expecting. Other families were matched to providers much later than expected. And some providers have had issues with the technology and algorithms that the system's currently using to match children to open seats at their top choice providers. Pam Milo is the executive director of Creative Learning Preschool, and she's experienced some of those bumps firsthand. Quite frankly, if we're being honest, she's a little frustrated by some of them. Yet even with those bumps, Pam doesn't see the demand for this new UPK program slowing down.
I'm seeing a massive increase for our waiting list coming for 24-25 as far as the amount of kids on that waiting list that are still interested in coming to our school specifically when they turn four. And I'm hearing a lot, not just from my school, but other providers in our area too, that we're doing tours right now and for three-year-olds or two-year-olds, and families are asking, are you doing UPK? Will you be doing UPK when my child, you know, would be allowed to do it? And families are making choices now to enroll their kids in programs that are either enrolled in UBK or not, because they see the financial piece of how much that will help their family's budget, and then also the support that their child will receive being enrolled in a quality program.
Want more proof of family excitement? Just ask Brittany Music, a working mother of two. Brittany enrolled her 6-year-old in preschool using Colorado's old preschool system, and her 4-year-old using the new UPK system. Not only was it a much easier experience to get matched to her top choice provider through UPK, with the click of a button, Brittany said, her family also received the universal subsidy to help pay for it. The average benefit for families receiving the subsidy is $6,000, which Brittany sees going a long way for working parents.
I think there's a lot of families who are in a better position and are excited to see that Colorado cares about children, cares about education, and that they want to help more working parents, households of two working parent families actually thrive instead of just survive. Yeah, I mean, it's been a huge financial benefit for us. It's given me comfort that we can continue to keep the other child care situations in place that we need for after school care. It's letting more families be in a position where, all right, I can keep working. I don't have to now take a step back in my job.
Brittany's last point, the one about working parents feeling more committed to their jobs, that's become especially resonant with many Colorado business leaders. Chief among them is the group Executives Partnering to Invest in Children, or EPIC for short. Beth Melton is the senior policy advisor for the group.
EPIC, as you know, is really about engaging business leaders in the early childhood space. And I think that's because of a recognition that childcare, early childhood really supports the workforce now, right? By ensuring that people can go to work. But also we're raising the workforce and the citizens of the future at the same time. And so I think that as business leaders, folks really see the value proposition there, honestly, of the investment and what that looks like.
Okay, so let's land this plane. Sure, UPK offers a significant value proposition for parents. It also offers value for a wider array of public, private, and in-home providers hoping to ride this new wave of parent interest in UPK. And a larger share of business leaders see preschool as a tool to support workforce development. But how exactly is UPK on the ballot this year? And what's the value proposition for you as a voter, especially as someone who may or may not have kids? That brings us back to Proposition II, one of the two measures on every Colorado ballot this fall. It asks a simple question, which Steph alluded to in our introduction. The Colorado Department of Early Childhood, or CDEC for short, set initial expectations for how much revenue they would collect from the new nicotine tax to support UPK. And in doing so, they underestimated how much revenue this new tax would collect. So this fall, CDEC has to go back to voters and ask for permission to access and use that money. Voting yes on Proposition II would allow our new UPK program to keep $23.65 million in excess funds. Voting no would return those funds to tobacco companies. So what exactly could our UPK program do with these additional funds? In Pam's eyes, the calculus here is pretty simple.
If you vote yes, the money will stay within the CDEC for UPK, and we can use that money to increase the amount of hours that kids will get and just the amount of kids that we can service within the state. And if we say no, as a community, if we vote no, that money isn't going to be refunded to individuals. It's going to go back to the tobacco companies, and they don't need this money.
So that's one of two measures on ballots this fall that revolve around preschool. The other measure is only on Denver ballots, and that's question 2P. As Steph mentioned in our intro, it's an easy measure to remember. Just remind yourself that P stands for preschool. And speaking of preschoolers, they're the ones who stand to benefit most if you vote yes on 2P. On Denver ballots for a fourth and would-be final time this fall is a question to Denver voters asking whether the Denver preschool program can continue to fund itself from a minuscule sales tax. Over the last 17 years, Denver voters have 3 times approved this 0.15% sales tax to support the Denver preschool program, or DPP for short. So how exactly did this program come to be? That's a story Gary Community Ventures knows very well, particularly our founders, Sam and Nancy Gary. The Garys have long believed that the business, policy, and philanthropic sectors can and should work together to find innovative solutions to our biggest problems. And in the year 2000, preschool was looking like one of those big problems. At the time, more than one-fifth of Denver residents were making between $18,000 and $34,000 a year. That put any and all high-quality preschool programs out of reach for 20% of our city's population. That statistic was particularly troubling when put into context of studies being produced by Nobel Prize-winning economist James Heckman. Dr. Heckman was one of the first to begin studying and collecting data on what kinds of outcomes children experience when they don't have access to high-quality learning and support programs from the years of birth to five.
This study in New Zealand followed a cohort of individuals from birth until their early 40s. So it's following the whole lifetime, and it's looking at these children and their families and examining how those families fare and how those individuals fare and what are the determinants of success. What you find is that about 80% of the social welfare benefits paid out to disadvantaged people are paid out to about 20% of the cohort members. And so what we know is that there really is some evidence that yes, even though the children at age three are not really the target of many of the adult social programs, that had we targeted those children in an effective way, many of those costs could have been avoided early on.
Professor Heckman's analysis of this New Zealand study ultimately showed that if we were able to devote more public dollars to early interventions like preschool, governments were likely to see returns of 7 to 10% per year on those investments. This, as a result of the demonstrated improvement in lifelong academic, social, employment, and health outcomes of students who did have access to high-quality preschool programs versus those who didn't. In other words, if we could help 20% of Denver families gain better access to preschool, it could take a massive dent out of our city's social program costs in the long run. Enter the Denver Preschool Program.
You couldn't have just any kind of education. It really needed to be quality. For some people who didn't have any money to be able to afford it, it was a true blessing.
That's Anna Jo Haynes. She's a pioneer in the Colorado early childhood sector. In fact, there's an early childhood center named for her in Denver. Working in conjunction with Anna Jo and a young mayor named John Hickenlooper, Sam and Nancy Gary helped convene a coalition of business, civic, and education leaders to form the recommendations for a new early childhood education program in Denver. They wanted this new program to be independent of the city government so that it could move quickly and innovate quickly. They also wanted this program to include mechanisms that would hold it accountable to elected leaders and to taxpayers. And to Anna Jo's point, they wanted this program to focus on creating more high-quality preschool programs, incorporating new and existing funding streams to help empower all Denver families in their search for quality preschool programs. Over the course of 17 years, Steph thinks those who first imagined this program, which we now know as DPP, would be proud of what it's accomplished.
The Denver Preschool Program has been able to reach 65,000 families in Denver over the course of its lifetime, spending over $150 million on the care for those kids. Imagine the amount of financial relief that has offered to families in our city. It's incredible.
On account of the program's success and shrewd use of funds, Denver voters have now renewed it on three separate occasions. This year, voting yes on the program would make it permanent and allow it to serve thousands more Denverites for many years to come. So that's it. That's our Better Beginnings Voter Guide for 2023. For those of you skimmers out there, we want to leave you with the cliff notes. Here's what you can tell folks in your community when they ask you about Proposition II and Question 2P this fall. First and foremost, everyone should know that these two ballot measures are about improving our preschool system in Colorado, which is something we truly believe benefits everyone in our state. A yes vote on Prop II helps our new, widely popular universal pre-K program retain money that it can use to provide more preschool hours to even more kids in the state. And it's important to note voting no on this measure doesn't return any funds to you, the taxpayer. It would just return the money to nicotine companies. And to borrow some wise words from Pam Milo, we think our kids and families need it more. A yes vote on question 2P would simply make permanent a program Denverites have voted to retain three times. That program is the Denver Preschool Program, or DPP for short. DPP makes sliding scale tuition credits available to all Denver families. DPP also works to boost the quality of our preschool programs in Denver. And all it takes to support a program that has now helped more than 65,000 Denver kids is 12 cents on every $100 purchase. Last but not least, make sure you keep an eye out for your ballot. They should be arriving in the mailboxes of all Coloradans the week of October 16th. You can find your nearest polling station at justvotecolorado.org/locations. That's all for now, but we do want to make you a promise. There are more episodes of Better Beginnings coming later this year, and we've got a big story that we're excited to share with you. Season 1 of our show, for those who might not know, focused on preschool, which is much of what we cover today. But what about those years of coverage families need before their kids turn 3 or 4? What about childcare? For all the positive momentum we've seen on changes to our preschool system across Colorado, there's a growing movement to find new ways to support kids, families, and our entire state in those crucial first 3 years of life for our kids. And we're gonna tell you about it real soon. Gary Advocacy is proud to support the campaigns for Proposition II and Question 2P. There's a huge list of mighty allies behind both campaigns, and we'd be here like all day if we were gonna try to give them the recognition that they deserve. But we do want to give special thanks to the folks who helped us pull this voter guide episode together. Colorado Epic is a truly innovative organization, helping our business leaders understand the role they have to play in supporting our kids and families. A special thanks is due to Cassie Leva and Nicole Rail for all their behind-the-scenes help, and to Beth Melton for appearing on this episode. Pam Milo at Creative Learning Preschool is a true champion for early childhood care and education providers across the state, and she has been for the last 25 years. We can't thank her enough for her candor and her time, the latter of which preschool executive directors never have enough of. Last but not least, we have to thank Brittany Music. Stories from Colorado kids and families are the lifeblood of this show. And frankly, it's never easy to be vulnerable and share about the process of finding childcare and preschool services, especially when that process has been so hard and so stressful for so long. But we believe it's vitally important when it comes to changing processes and when it comes to reimagining these systems. So we have to thank Brittany for leaning in with us on this episode. And now, the credits. Our executive producers on this podcast are Charisse Harris, Jill Holly, Steph Clothier, and Riley Farrow Carter. Michelle Takara Fairbairn is our multimedia fellow and field producer. Algernon Felice Jr. is my storytelling partner in crime and our magnanimous producer of all media at Gary Community Ventures. Literally none of this happens without him. Last but not least, we want to issue a final thank you to all the families, early childhood providers, policymakers, and business leaders who listen to this show. And those of you who are too busy to listen, Last but not least, we want to issue a final thank you to all the families, early childhood providers, policymakers, and business leaders who listen to this show. And those of you who are too busy to listen because you are out there making this world a better place for our youngest kids. We mean this very literally when we say that you're our heroes. You're the reason we do this work. Thank you for showing up every day and making Colorado a better place.